If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. The concept of non-negotiables has gained a lot of popularity from TV to TikTok, and many of us have found that creating those in our own lives is also really important. So I've brought Alec Darrell from our Conway office with us. He's one of our advisors there to talk through this subject with you. But the trend of rule setting has spread across various aspects of life with millions of TikTok videos discussing personal non-negotiables. And so we're going to kind of get into this topic about what should be your non-negotiables in your financial life. So do you have a non-negotiable that's not financial?
Yeah, I feel like everyone's got a couple, or I'd hope they do, like, you know, brushing your teeth. I think that's a good non-negotiable. You need to do that. For me personally, like eating breakfast every day, I think that is a non-negotiable for me. I will wake up earlier to make breakfast because I know that that's going to start me off to have a better day. So I think that that's a really good one for me. Brushing your teeth, that's good for everybody.
Showering. That for others if you can't do that for you.
Personal hygiene, that is huge for non-negotiables. But when it comes to finance, that's not an everyday thing for everybody. You really have to learn these things and reach out to learn them and work for it. And so, yeah, today we're going to talk about some of those non-negotiables that we believe you need to have, and we'll set you up a little bit better for the future.
So in case you don't know what a non-negotiable is, it's really just an inflexible commitment, something that you've said is a rule that you're going to set for yourself. It's a boundary that you don't bend on. And they take away the need for some decision-making, which is why a lot of people choose to kind of come up with those. I really just consider it like your values. What do you value, and how do you create boundaries for yourself? And, you know, we all have to make 6 billion decisions a day, it feels like. And so having some non-negotiables, like brushing your teeth, for instance, can help you not have to, you know, you can have better routines maybe. But let's talk about this first one, and it's going to make us a little unpopular with some people, but live below your means. Make that a non-negotiable, because if you consistently outspend your earnings, then you're never going to make progress on any sort of financial goals. No matter how much you make, if you spend every dollar, you're going to be in a hole.
Yeah, I think it goes with a lot of things. There's a lot of parallels when it comes to living below your means. I think it's where am I going? Am I progressing, or am I going backwards? And in your financial journey, I think when you are saving money, that is saying I am progressing. If I'm trying to learn a new skill or get better at anything, you want to track your results and say, okay, am I getting better every month? Am I saving more money each month? Or am I getting worse? Am I spending down my savings? Am I spending more than I make each month? And I think it's a really good way of seeing what am I doing now and where is it taking me? Am I going forward, or am I going backwards in my savings?
Yeah, and there was a recent study, 2023, payroll.org did a study, and they found that 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. So 3/4 of Americans struggle to save or invest after paying their monthly expenses. And MarketWatch did a similar one and found that nearly half, it was 48.6% of Americans, consider themselves broke. And I appreciate the wording on that, consider themselves broke, because I know people who are ready to retire, they're financially independent, and they still feel like they might be broke. But for most people, I don't think that's the case. I think for most people, trying to create a financial journey that matches their values and living in a way that makes them move forward is less challenging than people think, but they think it's more challenging, maybe is the better way to put it.
I 100% agree. And so we have some practical steps that will help you live below your means. And this is stuff that I apply, and I'm sure that you apply as well. One of the first ones is create a detailed budget tracking your income and expenses.
Now, don't stop listening because you heard the word budget, but let's think about this. Budgeting is just aligning your values with your spending habits. So if you value not living paycheck to paycheck and you're not using a budget, probably not going to make much progress. So I'll let you keep going. I just didn't want people to like be like, and we're done with the show.
No, you have to know what you're spending, where your money's going, and that's going to help you realize where you are spending too much money, or you know, areas you may not even realize you're spending money, which kind of takes us to the next one, identify and cut unnecessary expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You may have subscriptions that you don't know you're paying money to. If you go and look and say and see your bank account and see that it says you're spending $10 a month on Spotify and maybe you're not using Spotify or Microsoft, whatever it is, you can cut those out. Mm-hmm. That's automatically saving money for free. Doesn't affect your lifestyle. Eating out is another big one. Eating out, you're spending 3 to 4 times as much just on meals. And if you add up all the times that you're eating out a month, that can really show where the money going in and out each
month
is.
It's a sneaky one because you don't feel like you're spending a lot each time, but if you're doing it enough, it can really add up.
Yeah. Like if depending on the size of your family, eating out 3 to 4 times a week, that can be almost $1,000 a month.
My family cannot eat out without spending a ton of money. So yeah. One that helps me a ton is shopping with a list because it keeps me from impulse purchases when I do that. And when I was really trying to cut back, at one point I actually did the pickup. I only went in to pick out vegetables and fruits, but everything else I did the pickup thing so that I couldn't even go in and see what was
couldn't
on the shelves.
Tempted.
I couldn't be tempted by it. It helped me a ton though in saving money on my budget. And then look for alternatives to regular expenses that you do. So, you know, just because you don't want to go and spend $200 on a date night doesn't mean you can't have a fun date night. Maybe you think through alternatives of activities that you do that are less expensive or look at ways of making it more creative. Mm-hmm. You know, I think memories are made when you get creative. And so there's a lot of things you can do without having to go and, you know, bust the bank open. And then when it comes to non-essential purchases, one of the things you can do that has helped me a ton is give yourself a boundary of a certain amount of time. 24 to 48 hours is kind of the minimum. I've gone as far as a week. If the purchase is over a certain dollar amount, I can put it in the cart, but I cannot hit purchase until it sits and waits. Mm-hmm. Often I'll find that that impulse to buy it, I've come up with another solution by then. But if I still wanted it after a week and it's still manageable in the budget, then I know I really need it or it's going to be more impactful. So there are some tricks there. Number two, save and invest a fixed percentage. Now, historically, people have always said, 15% of your salary. Well, we have found mathematically that really it needs to be closer to 20 because people are living longer. Retirement is a longer period of time. And so, you know, that 20 doesn't have to all go to your retirement, but making sure you're taking and making progress on your emergency fund, your investments, and your retirement accounts or any future goals that you have. If you plan for about 20%, you're probably going to have some good wiggle room there.
Yeah. It's all about just sacrificing now to benefit from it later because everyone wants to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have any money saved up by the time you get to retirement, it's going to be tough. And you can really let your money work for you if you start saving now, let the power of compound interest work and get you ready for retirement so you can have a long retirement and not be worried about working. So setting it aside now and treating it like it's just dead money.
Yes.
Get one thing that's really helpful is just having it auto draft from your bank account. So that way it's almost like you're not making as much in a month, but you are. It's just you're putting it towards a good cause.
Well, and if it doesn't hit the bank account, in my mind, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so that's why having an employer plan and using it's really important. But one thing I did this past year is I have a certain amount per paycheck going to a savings account that I get a quarterly statement for it or a monthly statement, but outside of that, I don't look at it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And so to me, it's not something I can access, so I won't. And it's been really helpful for me building up some savings. Originally, I meant for it to be Christmas, but I realized I'm actually putting too much in. I'm not going to spend that much on Christmas. And so I'm using it as kind of a surplus emergency fund too, which is really nice to have. But yeah, if you treat savings as a lifestyle thing, that it is in and of itself non-negotiable, you are going to save, then you're more likely to make progress on that goal. So here's some practical steps. We've kind of shared a couple of these. One of those, anything you can automate, automate it. You're going to be busy. Life is going to happen. But if you can automate it directly from your payroll or directly from your checking to your savings, something like that, you will find that you're able to stick to it more. Another thing you can do is every time that you get a raise at work, increase your contribution by a couple percentage before you get that first check. If you go ahead and do it, then it's like it never happened. You get a little bit higher check, but you also increased your savings without feeling the pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What are some other things?
One thing that I think is really important is having a high yield savings account for your savings. If you have a plan to buy a car or a house, but you don't know if that's going to be the next year, 2 years, 3 years, let it get some interest. Let it, mm-hmm. you know, interest rates are high right now. You can really get a lot of interest for not a lot of risk. That could mm-hmm. be for your emergency savings as well. So I think that's really important. Another thing, if you get bonuses, use that for savings or investment mm-hmm. accounts. If you get a bonus, don't just go spend it on something big that you, because you weren't expecting to get that money anyways. Yeah. It's just icing on top of the cake. Throw it back, grow it, put it in a money market account, like we said, high yield savings, and use the money wisely.
And I think it's also not an all or nothing thing. So when I've had clients who are working on debt, we've talked about if you get a bonus, 80% of it goes towards the debt, but 20% of it you still get to have fun with. Mm-hmm. Giving yourself some wiggle room to take care of both things. But you're right. If you just kind of burn through it, then you're really going to regret that long term. So number one was live below your means. Number two was save and invest a fixed amount. Shoot for a goal. And if you can't get to that goal immediately, start just working towards it. Third one is maintaining an emergency fund. Again, don't turn this off. I know you might be thinking, I don't have any money extra to do this, but I promise you, if you take some time to evaluate, you will. Even having $500, $1,000 in a savings account that you don't play with, that you don't mess with or treat like it's accessible, will make such a big difference in your ability to stay out of debt and to make progress on your other savings goal. Bankrate did a survey in February 2024 and found that 56% of Americans don't have enough savings to cover an unexpected expense of $1,000. Now, I'm not judging you here if this is you, okay? I have been there. But you can do better. I gave you one tip earlier. Have it auto-drafted out of your payroll. Even if it's $50 a pay period, that'll add up eventually if you just get going and stay focused on it. What are some other practical tips to help people get their emergency fund ready and kind of fully funded?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned earlier keeping it in a separate account. Mm-hmm. It's not easy access for your emergency fund. I think that's really important because if you just have a little portion of your checking account that you say, oh, this is emergency savings, you could easily tap into that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot harder to track. You're right. I think figuring out what that dollar amount is for you, we recommend 3 to 6 months. If you have trouble figuring out what you need, we say 3 to 6 months of expenses. If you don't know 3 or 6, whatever you're more comfortable with, I think that's a really good start.
Yeah.
And then if you use your money for an emergency, replenish it.
Yeah.
Start saving more, throwing it back in there, because your emergency fund is there for emergencies, but if you spend it down, you got to build it back up for that next emergency that most likely will happen.
Yes, they're going to happen. They can be inconveniences or true emergencies, depending on how you're handling your finances. Another one we're just going to kind of touch on, because we've got a lot of episodes about this, is avoiding high interest debt. Honestly, right now it feels like everything's high interest debt. Yeah. But what we're talking about is really revolving debt, like credit cards, getting debt to buy furniture. A lot of times it's the negotiable expenses that we're talking about. So you don't necessarily need that extra outfit, right? If we're being honest, mm-hmm. or that new gadget. You don't need that. Delay that purchase until you have the cash. Don't pay a credit card company 35%. Side note, I just got the thing. They were like, oh, here's the new rate, 35%. I'm not paying that interest rate. That's a third.
Yeah.
So if I buy a $100 item, that's $35 extra if I don't pay that thing off. So think through that and try to avoid that as much as you can. Also note the minimum payment that's on most credit card statements. Do you know how much that is? 1%. That's like the minimum on some cards is 1% of what you owe. If you're paying 35 and you're only paying 1, how long do you think it takes you to pay it off? Never. You can never pay it off. So just don't do that. Make it non-negotiable to either avoid debt or pay it off quickly so that you're not paying that any longer than you have to. And if you're in that payoff mode, you can call and negotiate that price. And our last kind of area that we feel like you really need to create some non-negotiables is educating yourself and finding resources that you can trust to help you along your journey. And we've talked about this before about finfluencers, right? Mm-hmm. And I loved your comment the last time we talked about this, where you were like, because they have no license, they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah. I think knowing your sources, knowing if they're a credible source, is really important, and staying hungry to learn. You want to keep looking for more information, learning as much as you can, and then applying it to your situation. That way you can just keep getting better. And a lot of the stuff we've talked about, make it a habit and you'll just continue to get better at those habits. Even if it's a little bitty step after step, you're going to make a lot of ground and you're going to make a lot of progress. So I think that kind of gets us to the end here.
Is that your 2 cents? Is that what you're saying?
I guess that is my 2 cents. I'll let you go.
I love that. You know, I always talk about muscle memory with my kids because they're all athletic and they're in their sports. We talk about building muscle memory. And really what we're talking about when you're creating these non-negotiables and what Alex is describing is financial muscle memory. Those who are successful that come into our office ready to retire have just built these habits over the long period. So setting these non-negotiables for your financial life can really help you align your decision-making with your goals and values. That's really all it is. So thank you guys so much for joining us today on Talking Sense. We hope this episode has given you some action steps to take to build your non-negotiables. And if you like this content, make sure that you subscribe, follow, leave us a review so that helps other people find this content as well. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wolf team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wolf Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.